There's a phenomenon that I'm sure many of you, probably all of you, have experienced at one point or another in your life. It happens for me sometimes when I am presented with a great need. A great necessity is laid upon me. I may be at work. I may be sitting there. I've been there for many hours already. I've been working diligently. And I'm focusing on something in front of me. It's a task. Oh, I got to write a brief. I've got to figure out what to say. I've got to think about these things. I've got to review some documents. And suddenly, there is a feeling that all of us recognize. Suddenly, your stomach starts to growl. Suddenly, you feel this really empty sensation in the very pit of your stomach, and you recognize it's 1 o'clock and I haven't eaten lunch yet. Uh-oh. And then you say, well, no, I'm really busy right now. I've got a lot going on. Let me try to just power through this and finish what I'm doing, and then I'll eat. And then you start turning back to that brief and you start writing away and you start writing on the page, must eat lunch, must eat lunch. And you say, no, that's not what I'm supposed to say. And you start writing again. You start saying, oh, McDonald's sounds so good. No, that's not what I'm supposed to. What happens? Necessity has distracted you. Maybe you're up late at night. Sometimes I'm up at late at night doing work, and I'm trying to do work, and I'm trying to do work, and suddenly this overwhelming exhaustion comes over me, and I say, I cannot keep my eyes open anymore without going to sleep. I'm done working. I'm going to bed. You know what's happened to you? You have been distracted by necessity. You have been distracted. You're trying to focus. You're trying to look. You're trying to do what is in front of you, but you can't focus because necessity got in the way. But you know, there's another thing, that phenomenon that I want to hold out in front of you this morning. It's what you might call distracted from necessity. Have you ever been so focused on a task that you are extremely hungry, but you don't even recognize it? Have you ever been so focused on a task that your body is absolutely exhausted, but you're sitting there like a madman writing away, working away? You're so focused on your task, you look at it and you say, it's 6 o'clock already, the workday's done. I didn't even eat lunch. I didn't even get up from my chair. I didn't even do anything. This day is so crazy. You were distracted from necessity. Necessity didn't even come into your mind. Now, where am I going with these two different kinds of phenomenons? One, distracted by necessity. You're trying to focus and you can't because something necessary is getting in the way. And then on the other hand, distracted from necessity. You have things that your body needs, but you're so focused, you can't even see them. And you blow right past them. Today in our reading, we learn about two different women. One named Martha and one named Mary. And both of them dealt with necessity as they saw it in different ways. And Jesus says to them something very interesting. He says to Martha, Martha, who has had all these tasks that are consuming her, that are keeping her so busy, that are keeping her going, moving forward, and has left her frustrated and worried. He says, Martha, Martha, one thing is necessary. One thing is needed. You are looking to many things that are distracting you right now. But Martha, you are distracted from necessity. You are distracted from what is really important. And do you know who understood what was really important at that time? It was Mary. The title of my message this morning is going to be Distracted from Devotion. Distracted from Devotion. And I am going to pray that the Holy Spirit this morning speaks to each of our hearts and shows us ways in our life where it could be said of us that we are distracted from devotion. First of all, let's talk about a devotion. A devotion showed by a woman named Mary. Now look at what happens here. Look at what's going on here in Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went. Who is they? They is referring to the disciples of Jesus Christ. They went. It is Jesus and his disciples. As they went, that he, that Jesus, entered into a certain village. Now we know from other places in Scripture that this village is Bethany. This is where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, three siblings, two sisters and a brother, that's where they lived, in this little town just outside Jerusalem, on the other side of the Mount of Olives, in Bethany. That he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. So here's Martha being hospitable. Jesus, the great teacher. Jesus, the great miracle worker. Jesus, the Son of God, is coming into Bethany. And Martha says, I want him to come to my house. He's my friend. I've heard him. I want him to come stay with us. Now, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus appear to have lived together. They appeared to have been sharing a house. It's speculated that Martha was a widow. That's why she owned the house. That's why it said that she had Jesus into her house. And she was the one that was taking a central role in the hospitality. So here comes Jesus into her house. Can I just pause and say, can you imagine what a wonderful reality it would to have Jesus Christ in your house? If Jesus Christ came into your city, walked into Minneapolis, and you said, hey, Jesus, do you want to come over to my house? And he said, yes, I do, actually. I would like to come stay with you. Can you imagine what kind of effort you would have put into preparing your house for Jesus Christ? First of all, here I want to talk about the person. The person of Jesus Christ coming to your house. Think about that. Now, Jesus Christ at this point had been going all throughout Judea doing miracles, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. He was attracting a following. He was even at this time something of a big deal. And now he comes in and Martha's saying, come into my house, won't you? Come stay with me. We'll put out the cot for you. We'll have the bed for you. You can stay with us. Don't worry. We will feed you. Jesus Christ coming to stay. But secondly, let's talk about a privilege here. A privilege. Look at this privilege. And she had a sister, verse 39, called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. In other words, Jesus wasn't just coming in to their house to say, let me get away from the crowds. I want to take a break from preaching right now. I just want to go into a room and be by myself and have some Jesus time, okay? I just want to have some me time. That's not what Jesus was doing. Mary was here listening and hearing him speak. Jesus came into their house, and I'm picturing them sitting in the living room, and here's Jesus right there, and he's saying, okay, let me open up the gospel, or let me open up the book of Isaiah, and let me teach you some things. And you know what I said in the Beatitude at the beginning of my ministry? Let me explain a little more what I mean when I said, blessed are the merciful. And you know what I said about blessed are the poor in spirit? Here's what I mean by that. He was teaching. He was speaking. Now think about this. Think about not only how cool it would be to have Jesus come and stay at your house, but for him to do a Bible study in your living room. Jesus, who John 1 calls the Word of God, the very Word of God, sitting in your living room saying, hey, brother, let me really teach you what this means. Let me show you what I mean by this. What a privilege. And Mary was right there for it. Mary was sitting right down at his feet saying, I'm ready to hear everything you have to say. Third, let's talk about her position. Her position. Can you imagine if Jesus Christ were in your living room speaking to you, where would you be? don't you think you'd want to be right as near to him? Let me hear. Now, it's a very interesting thing what is said here. It is said she was sitting at his feet. Now, do you know what's interesting? This showed a place of discipleship where the great teachers of the law in Jesus' day, they were the religious people, they were the religious professors of religion. The people that were learning from them would sit at their feet and they would just sit there and listen. You know how it's said in Scripture of how Paul learned under Gamaliel, the teacher of the law? Paul would have sat at his feet and said, okay, teacher, teach me. I remember when I was in law school, there was a time that the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, John Roberts, you say, who is that? He's a big deal, okay? The Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court was coming to speak at our law school. And it's this big, huge event that the Chief Justice of the United States, I was in a class around that time. And it was about about the power of the presidency of the United States. And we're sitting in class one day, minding our own business, waiting for the class to start. And the doors open up, and the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court walks into our class of about 12 people. I mean, all of us about had a heart attack, okay? We know who this guy is. I mean, this is the Chief Justice of the United States. He's the one who's deciding all these, the most important legal matters in the country. And he walks in. It turns out there had been a connection between him and the professor of the class, and the professor asked him to come in. He came in and sat with about 12 of us and answered our questions. Do you know how close attention I was paying that day? You think I had the crossword puzzle out and was kind of in my notebook, kind of looking at him and while I was doing the crossword puzzle? You think my laptop was open and I was checking the sports scores while I was pretending like I was listening to him? No, you better imagine all of us were just sitting there. Oh, man. The Chief Justice is right here. And that's where Mary was. Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet and saying, just teach me. This is so cool. I got Jesus in my living room. How cool is that? She was going to focus. Now, can I make an application of these three things? Do you know that you have the exact same privilege, though not in a physical sense, in a spiritual sense, that Mary had? Do you know that you can open up this Word of God every morning and have Jesus Christ in, as it were, your prayer closet, in your living room, teaching you the Word of God? Why is that? It's because the Holy Spirit that has been given to us, it said in the book of John, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. And do you know what the Holy Spirit that is inside you will teach you? I love this. He will teach you all things whatsoever Jesus said. Do you know that's true? Do you know when you open up your Bible as a Christian who the Holy Spirit is indwelling you and you come to Him, the Holy Spirit will teach you what Jesus said to His disciples and it'll apply it to your heart. It's as if God is sitting in your living room taking this book to you and saying, here, let me teach you. Let me show you things. Let me show you what you don't understand. Do you know where else we can get this Word of God? The Bible says that God has lifted up preaching to communicate His Word. Now we understand here, this is nothing, when I stand in this pulpit and preach, if it's my own wisdom, if it's my own words that you're hearing, it's going to fall flat on it's flat on the floor. It's just going to be worth nothing because my wisdom's not worth anything. My own word in a spiritual sense isn't worth anything. But to the extent that I am opening up this book, that someone is standing in this pulpit and saying, thus saith the Lord, and supporting it with the Word of God, you know what the Holy Spirit is going to do? He's going to take that Word of God and teach it to you as if Jesus Christ were standing in this pulpit preaching it. That's no reflection on me. It's all a reflection on Him. It's all a reflection on Him in the book of Isaiah that says, His word will not return to Him void. His word will not go out into this audience and fail to do what He has desired it to do. It will accomplish that which it pleases. And so it is in this pulpit when the Word of God is preached faithfully. You can look and sit at the feet of Jesus and say, teach me. teach me. No, I'm not counting on Peter Magnuson to teach me. I'm counting on God to teach me by the Holy Spirit through Peter Magnuson. That is preaching. And we, if we are to think it's going to be so cool that Jesus Christ would come into our living room and sit and teach us, we should think it that cool that we can open up our Bible every morning and sit at His feet. That we can come here for services and sit at His feet. That we can come together for Bible studies and say, God, teach us right now, and the Holy Spirit will teach us. Do we find it that much of a privilege, friends? Do we find it that much of a blessing? That is how we treat the preaching of the Word of God. I'm going to sit at your... I just want to sit at Jesus' feet right now. I just want to learn. Is that how we treat the privilege of coming to the Word of God in the morning to say, God, I'm just going to hear from You today. I just want You to teach me. That's the privilege we have. And we shouldn't underestimate it. We shouldn't turn away from it and despise it and think it's not that big a deal. I can read my Bible anytime. I can come listen to preaching anytime. I don't need that. I'm doing well in my spiritual life. No. God has given the Holy Spirit to teach us as if we are sitting at the very feet of Jesus. First of all, we see the devotion here. Secondly, let's see a distraction. A distraction. And where am I getting this word distraction? How do we know that there was distraction going on here? Because the Bible says it. Look at this verse. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. Now look at the next word. Someone tell me what that next word is in verse 40. What's the next word? But. Mary was sitting and learning at Jesus' feet. She was hearing His word, but Martha. Martha was doing something different. Look at what it said here. Martha was cumbered about much serving. Do you know how you could translate that word? If you could translate that into modern English, she was distracted. Martha was distracted with much serving. Here's this teaching session going on in the living room where Mary's just sitting and learning, just soaking it all in, marveling at the privilege that Jesus Christ was talking to her. And here's Martha distracted. Now, what does it mean to be distracted? What does it mean to be distracted? What does that word even suggest? It means to be pulled apart, pulled away in so many different directions. Now, I want to note something very interesting for you about this distraction. Let's look, first of all, at her plan, at Martha's plan. Remember when we said, if Jesus were coming into your house, what kind of things would you do to make it ready for Him? You know, I've always wondered, my mom would have me clean the house for guests to come over. And she would say things like, make sure to pull out the couches and vacuum under them. And see, they're not going to pull up out the couches. You think they're going to be like looking under the couches and trying to see it? But no, I understand. I think if Jesus were coming over, don't you think you'd be vacuuming under the couches? I am. Don't you think you'd be dusting the top of the windowsills? Don't you think you'd be trying to get every last piece of dirt outside of the inside of the closets just in case? Now that's Martha. Martha had an absolutely good plan. She said, my feast must be perfect for the Savior of the world. My feast must be perfect for Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you something interesting. What Martha was doing, her plan was good. She wanted to do right. She wanted to make things perfect for Jesus. She wanted to make it fitting for Him. She wanted a glorious feast, something that would be honoring to Jesus Christ. She said, I got all these things to do to make things ready for Jesus Christ. You might even say, you know how Scripture holds up hospitality as a good thing? Hospitality is a wonderful thing. Service is a wonderful thing. Romans 12 tells us to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We are all to do that. That is something that God desires from us. It's a good plan. Secondly, let's understand here the pull. The pull in this plan, there were all these parts. Get the food together. Clean up the living room. Make sure all the other people in the house are in order. Make sure I'm dressed and I'm looking nice. Make sure this meal is going to be just cooked right. Oh, then there's this dish and that dish and that dish over there. And can't you just see Martha's head spinning? Can't you just see all these things she's walking to do this thing over? Oh, no, that, oh, that, oh, oh, now this over here, oh, that over there too. And she's just, all these things are pulling her. And the contrast is Jesus sitting in the living room with Mary at her feet, with Mary at his feet. And here's Martha running around like a chicken with her head cut off in the kitchen. She's pulled by so many different things. And what does this lead to? What is the product, third, of this distraction? Look at what it says. Look at what Luke says. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my servant hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, he diagnoses the issue. He says, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. You're anxious. You're worried. You're disturbed. Everything's pulling you all these different directions and you don't know which way to go. You're just an emotional wreck right now, Mary. Now look at what Mary said to Jesus. Jesus Christ, don't you care? Do you know what an awful thing this was to say to Jesus Christ? Think of that old hymn that we sing. Does Jesus care? I know he cares. What an odd thing it was for her to look at him and say, do you care? Of course he cared. Of course he cared about her. And she comes and lays this almost accusation upon Jesus Christ. She's so worried. She's so frantic. She's so emotionally distraught that she lays it on Jesus' feet. Friend, let's take a look at our lives for a moment. You might look at that and say, Martha, what are you doing? Martha, why would you say that to Jesus? Martha, how could you get so distracted when Jesus is in your living room? How could you be such an emotional wreck? But then we look at ourselves. Then we look at ourselves. Today, this day and age is characterized by distraction. That's what it is. Technology is all around us. Do you know whenever something pops into my mind, I can say, let me Google that and Google that question and get an answer. There are movies that come along that can't help it, but every 10 minutes there has to be an explosion where someone's going to say, oh, this movie's boring. I'm not going to watch this. Everything just has to be immediately on its seat. You go to a sporting event and the music is blaring and there always has to be excitement. There always has to be drama. There always has to be something going along because we're just so distracted. We got to find the next thing immediately. We want instant gratification. We want to be distracted immediately. It was funny, as I was preparing for this message, this very message, I was thinking about it, and I got a text message from someone, and my immediate thought was, I gotta go look this up. And it was like the Lord just said, no. Don't you see what you're preaching on tomorrow? Being distracted? But how many times do we see ourselves pulled in a million different directions? Some thought pops in our head, oh, we're over there. I'm supposed to be, oh, something else is over there. Now, can I just explain something that's important to remember? Do you know you can be distracted by good things? You can be distracted by good things. And sometimes we just think, okay, I don't want to be distracted by bad things. That's a sin. I'm not going to be distracted by that. But we're distracted by other things. You know, friends, there are obligations that God has put in your life, and He's given you things that you need to do. If you're a father here today, you have an obligation to your children. If you're a husband here today, you have an obligation to your wife. God has given you things to do. If you're here as a worker at Straight Gate Church, you have obligations. You have duties. When this service breaks out today, some of you are going to walk out that door and get on that bus, and it's going to be your job to make sure these children get home safely. It was your job to teach Sunday school today. It is your job to do these things that God has given you as good things. Martha had a good thing to do. It was hospitality. And she was working for that. And she was looking to do that rightly. But that good thing was a distracting thing. And do you know what's going to happen when those good things become distracting things for you? Do you know what's going to happen when those things that you say, but God, I'm supposed to do this, become overwhelming things? You're going to end up putting it right back on God. Say, God, are you giving me all this to do myself? And God's saying, why are you saying this to me, child? God, I'm so frustrated right now. I'm doing all this work for the church, and where's everyone else? God's saying, you're putting that on me right now? You say, God, I can't even get any time for myself right now. Aren't you going to make this person come and chip in? And God's going to say, really? Don't you see you're distracted? Don't you see you're being pulled a million different directions in even good things sometimes, but they're not what I want for you right now? I see that in myself all the time. I see that kind of distraction when God is wanting me to have devotion with Him. He's wanting me to have fellowship with Him. And my mind's going off. My mind's going all these different things, all these different needs, all these different things that I have to do. Do you know where I can even get distracted? I'll just be honest with you. Do you know how I can get distracted in sermon preparation? Do you know that when all my, if only my work in the Word of God is to prepare a sermon, I will be absolutely dry spiritually? And there are times I've seen one myself when I recognize, you know what? I just got to spend time with God just because. Not because I have to prepare a sermon. I can be distracted by the best of things. And we can too. Getting away from that devotion, that great privilege that God has given to each of us. So first of all, we see the devotion. What a privilege it is to sit at Jesus' feet and learn and hear from Him, whether it's reading the Word of God, whether it's hearing the Word of God preached, whether it's coming together as fellowship with other believers. And then the distractions, the good things that just pull us away from that devotion that He wants. Third, let's talk here about a distinction. A distinction. What separated Mary and Martha? What was different from the Martha who got distracted and the Mary who got it, who understood what was important, who understood what was necessary? You know what Jesus said to Martha? He said, Martha, you are so anxious, you're so worried, you're so taken, pulled apart with many things. How many of us would raise our hands here this morning and say, I know those many things that are pulling us? I've got many responsibilities that are eating up my time. I'm pulled in a million different directions. Notice what Jesus says to her. But you've got these many things going on. But one thing is needful. One thing is necessary. One thing is required. One thing is the true obligation, is the true duty. And he says to Martha, he says, Martha, Mary has chosen that good part. Let's talk first of all about priority. But a priority. Friends, if you're going to understand what it is not to be distracted from devotion, if you're going to understand what it is to be able to sit and listen at Jesus' feet, hear His Word, is going to come by identifying your priority. It's going to come by looking to God and saying, God, what is your priority right now? What is the most important thing? Do you know what's so interesting about Martha? There's no record anywhere in this story that she actually stopped and asked Jesus what He cared about. Isn't that interesting that she was forsaking her guest, not serving him? Think about that. Her guest, she was trying to do all these things for Jesus. She was trying to make it perfect for Him. She was trying to have this big feast for Him. And if she would have stopped and said, Jesus, what do you want me to be doing right now? Do you want me to be doing this? Or do you want me to be sitting at your feet? He would have said, Martha, I want you sitting right here like Mary. She was distracted with all these things. Now, friends, think about this. What is the most honoring thing that you can do to someone who is speaking to you publicly? Listen. Do you know when you fall asleep in the sermon here, You are disrespecting God because it's His word that is being given here. You're saying to God, I don't care. I don't care what you have to say. I don't care about what you think. And so it is, the most honoring thing that Martha could have done to Jesus at that time was to say, Jesus, teach me. Teach me, let me hear. Let me hear what you have for me. Now let me just make this point. Is your priority in your life to sit and listen at Jesus' feet? Is it your priority? Is it your priority when you wake up in the morning to say, God, first thing this morning, let me listen to you speak. Holy Spirit, apply your word to my heart. I got to listen to you. Or is the first thing, I got to wake up, let me see, okay, well, did anyone post on my Facebook wall last night? Anyone send me a message? What happened here? Let me see what happened in the sporting event last night. Distracted by all these different things. It's just a matter of priority. It's just a matter of priority. Friend, tonight the Word of God is going to be preached in this place. There's going to be an opportunity for people to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear what He has to say. Is that a priority? Let's think about what's distracting us from that priority. You might say, well, I got good things going on. I got to spend some family time. Have you stopped and asked Jesus whether He'd rather have you spend family time tonight or sit at His feet and hear His word? Have you asked Him? Have you asked Him what's the important priority in your life? To hear Him speak to you in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, at family devotions, on Sunday evenings, on Wednesday evenings in prayer meeting? Or are you going to say, no, I'm going to set my schedule. This is what I think Jesus wants. This is what I think His needs are. This is what I think He should have. And we say, okay, I'm going to set my priorities. Thank you very much. Let's think about Mary. Mary simply said, the most honoring thing I can do to Jesus Christ is sit and listen to Him right now. And I'm not at all taking away from the priorities and the obligations that God gives us. He gives you work responsibilities. He gives you family responsibilities. He gives you husband and wife responsibilities. He gives you all those things. He gives you service in the local church. But friend, when those things are distracting you from sitting and learning at the feet of Jesus Christ, may I suggest that your priorities are backward? Your priorities are wrong? What's your priority today? I pray that it's to sit and learn at the feet of Jesus Christ. Secondly, let's understand here a purpose. A purpose. You see, there is something that is necessary for us to recognize the privilege of sitting and learning at Jesus' feet, and then of actually doing it without distraction, actually doing it without turning away to all these other things that are pulling at us. I'm going to suggest for you, it's in the very last verse of this chapter, in verse 42. Look at what it says here. Jesus says, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath what? Mary hath chosen. Chosen that good part. Friends, you are never going to avoid distraction in your life. You are never going to avoid the distraction that pulls you away from the things of God unless you choose it. Unless you choose to say, I will not be distracted. Unless you choose that good part. Unless it's a conscious, purposeful choice of your heart to say, God, I'm choosing to sit at your feet this morning. I'm choosing to sit at your feet and hear your word preached tonight. I'm choosing to put myself under the teaching of your word. So often I get distracted because I'm not intentional. I'm not purposeful. I get up and I open my Bible in the morning and then my phone buzzes and I say, oh, let me check and see if that's a work email. And what am I doing? Do you know what my choice might look like? God, I'm coming to your word tonight, this morning, and my phone's going to be completely on the other side of the room on silent. I'm going to choose to not be distracted right now. It may be to say, God, I don't care what's going to come up this afternoon. I am choosing to be under your teaching tonight with the local church. I don't care what is getting in my way of all these things of service, of all these other obligations. One thing is needful, and one thing is necessary, one thing is essential, and I'm choosing it. I'm making a conscious decision of the will to be there. May we know that purpose for ourselves. May we know that conscious choice that Mary made. And third, let's understand here the possession. The possession. I love what Jesus says of Mary here. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Jesus is saying, no, I'm not going to tell Mary to walk away from where I'm teaching her and go busy herself and go get distracted. I am going to communicate with her right here. I am going to give her my teaching right here. She is going to get it all. It's not going to be taken away from her. Friend, I truly believe that God will bless your choice, your purpose to sit at His feet and learn. And He'll say of you, it won't be taken away from you. Your purpose, your desire to glorify me by doing what I desire, to have my priorities be your priorities, it's not going to be taken away, that blessing, from you. Friend, what's distracting you from sitting and learning at Jesus' feet? What is distracting you? What excuse are you putting in the way? Not to be at church? Not to open your word in the morning and spend time with Him? To avoid other opportunities to put yourself under the preaching of the Word of God? Now listen, there may be some here that are saying, but you don't understand my obligation. You don't understand my duty. I'm not trying to. All I'm saying is this: what's your priority? Work that out with God, wherever you think there are duties that are getting in the way. I remember what my father used to say, and I love it. It's such a wise thing to say. Duties never conflict. Duties, obligations, necessities never conflict. There's an opportunity to fulfill your duty to your family, to your church, to all these things, and never conflict with your duty, your priority to serve God. I'm not intending to come into your life and tell you how all these things should work out. I'm not setting your schedule, but I am saying this: what's your priority? And are you being distracted from that by good things that are around you? So you may be like me, you may be at work, you may be so focused on all those things that you're working on, so working hard away that you don't even recognize the things that your body needs. And this morning I ask you to step back with Jesus Christ and ask the Lord whether He would see into your life a demonstration of being carried about, of being pulled around, of being worried and troubled and anxious about so many things. My friend, hear His voice today. One thing is needful. And I encourage you to choose that good part which will not be taken away from you. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this gentle rebuke to Martha. Martha, who had such a good intent but was so troubled and was so anxious by the things that were distractions, that were not true devotion for You. Father, I ask that in each person's heart here today, You would show very clearly where distraction is taking the place of devotion. Lord, I pray for those here that don't know what it is to have true devotion with You because they've never trusted in Jesus Christ. They have no relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, it wasn't the focus of our message today, but I pray that even that person would come into fellowship, into relationship with Jesus Christ, even this morning. Now, friend, we pause as we do at the end of every service, every morning service. If there's anyone here that would like to come, that feels their need to trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, feels the need to sit at His feet and learn, why don't you slip out from where you are? You can come kneel at these steps and someone will take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Is there anyone this morning? And friend, while we wait, you're a Christian, you know what it is to sit at Jesus' feet, but you've been being pulled away from that with many other maybe good duties, good tasks, good things for you to do, but they've been distracting you from the one necessary thing. Why don't you ask the Lord what His priority is? And why don't you ask the Holy Spirit to show you where your priority should be, and then to make that conscious choice, that purpose, to choose that good part which will not be taken away from you. Let's take a moment. Father, give us wisdom. Give us discernment in this very troubled age, in this age where priorities are so important, that we would know the priorities that you desire, the priorities that you seek, and that we would put those priorities in the order that you would have them. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.